The subject of what we should be doing for the coming holiday season can be very controversial because of us. On the one hand, we should not celebrate Christmas because it's a non-biblical holiday. It's not scriptural and was created to be a replacement for the feast days that God gave us in Leviticus 22. However, we should celebrate Christmas because we have to be there for our family and our friends. Because I don't know about you, but before I became who I am today, I wasn't saved, and I taught my family about Christmas, and I taught my children how to celebrate it. And I told them that that was the time when our families got together and we had fellowship and we had love in the world and peace and joy. And whenever you turn on the TV, they always say love and joy and peace in the world at this time. Everybody gets into it. Even people who don't read the Bible bring in peace and joy at this time, don't they? Hey, we can always use peace and joy and love in the world, right? And so in December we get it, usually. But we can use this holiday. We don't have to put up trees and all that stuff. We don't have to put those things up. But we can shine our light on other people. We could shine Yeshua's light on the whole world. Yeah. That's what we should be doing. Showing them how much we love them, how much we care about them, and how much peace and joy we could have the other 11 months of the year that they don't seem to lose. They seem to lose in January, I guess. It all goes away on New Year's Day, doesn't it? Should we celebrate Hanukkah or the Feast of Dedication, as it's called, or the Feast of Lights, as it's called? It is very risky for us to celebrate Hanukkah, as there is a danger that it becomes a replacement for Christmas because of its proximity. It's in December. It's the Jewish Christmas. If you go to all the Jewish synagogues, they're going to be doing that stuff. They've got Hanukkah wrap. They've got dreidels in their front yards lighted up. You know, a little guy in a red suit with a kippah on. You know, they have taken Christmas and commercialized it into Hanukkah. And so we have a problem there in that it's in the minds of young children, it looks like Christmas. I remember when I was a child, we celebrated both holidays. We celebrated Hanukkah because we were Jewish, and I got gifts every night for 8 days. We would get a gift. And in Hanukkah, they talk about gifts as being Hanukkah geld, money. You usually get money, or chocolate money sometimes, or real money sometimes. But sometimes that turned into gifts. But my grandfather, who was totally Jewish, he sang in the synagogue, celebrated Christmas, and he had a St. Nicholas suit from the old country, and we put up a tree, and we had a mistletoe in our apartment in Brooklyn, New York, and we celebrated Christmas just like everybody else. Why? Not because of the birth of Jesus. It was American. It was the thing to do to fit in and become part of America. We were conservative Jews, so we had a conservative Jews have to fit in, become part of the landscape. You know, Orthodox wouldn't do that. But my grandfather felt that was necessary. So we celebrated both, which was fine for me. I got another gift. I guess I was spoiled. That didn't come out of my turbo. Okay. Yeah. But let's consider the origins of Hanukkah and whether or not our Messiah Yeshua, who should be our example in everything we do, observed that day. Let's see if he was into it. Well, when the house of Judah returned from their Babylonian exile to the land of Israel, most of the northern kingdom of Israel, which we called Ephraim, had been dispersed into the ancient world. They were gone. They were out of town. The Jewish state of Israel was a vassal state of what we called the Persian Empire at the time, and later became engulfed in Alexander the Great's empire to become a province of what we know as Syria. Greek culture was slowly influencing the Jews, Hellenism. And with many Jews taking it up, they were abandoning the Torah. and its commandments in favor of Greek customs and philosophies. It became increasingly more difficult for the Jews to maintain a Torah-obedient lifestyle with the policies of the Syrian Greeks. Things got out of control when Antiochus IV of the Seleucid dynasty came to power. He was called Antiochus Epiphanes, which means Elohim manifest or God manifest. Antiochus made it illegal for the Jews to practice the Torah, to do circumcisions, to follow the kosher rules, to worship in the temple. He moved his troops into Jerusalem. He desecrated the temple by sacrificing a pig on its altar and erecting a statue of the god he called Zeus in it. This is all recorded in a part of the Bible you never get to read because it's not in the Bible. But it is in the Bible, depending on which Bible you read. It's in a part of the Bible called the Apocrypha. And if you want to find out, read the books of the Apocrypha, you have to get a Catholic Bible of all things, because that's where it is. It's in 1 Maccabees, chapter 1, 44 through 52. Let me read that for you. And the king sent letters by messengers to Jerusalem and the cities of Judah. He directed them to follow customs strange to the land, to forbid burnt offerings and sacrifices and drink offerings in the sanctuary, to profane Sabbaths and feasts, to defile the sanctuary and the priests, to build altars and sacred precincts and shrines for idols, to sacrifice swine and unclean animals, and to leave their sons uncircumcised. They were to make themselves abominable by everything unclean and profane so that they should forget the law and change all the ordinances. And whoever does not obey the command of the king shall die. Boy, what was he trying to do? Get rid of the Jews, huh? Many historians are generally agreed that Antiochus was an ambitious man, and he was trying to illustrate that he was more powerful than the Ptolemaic Greeks of Egypt. He had this conflict with Egypt all the time. In 1 Maccabees 1, 16 through 18, it indicates that after defeating Ptolemy, he sought to subdue the land of Israel and Jerusalem and solidify his rule. The actions of Antiochus were not well received by the majority of the population in the land of Israel. Led by a retired priest named Mattathias, many Jews opposed the oppression of the Syrian Greek invaders and sought to see them pushed out of the land. Let's get rid of the Greeks. Kick them out. Many of the Jews, fearing for their lives, succumbed to not following Torah and would not follow the rite of circumcision or eat kosher. Many of them adopted Greek religion and wanted to blend in. Do we see that today anywhere? When Antiochus's army entered into the town of Modin, where Mattathias and his five sons were living, they tried to persuade them to forsake the law of Moses and sacrifice to the Greek gods. Mattathias refused to give in to their demands and proclaimed his loyalty to God of Israel, and his instructions are in 1 Maccabees 2, 19 through 22, but Mattathias answered and said in a loud voice, "Even if all the nations that live under the rule of the king obey him and have chosen to do his commandments, departing each one from the religion of his fathers, yet I and my sons and my brothers will live by the covenant of our fathers. Far be it from us to desert the law and the ordinances. We will not obey the king's words by turning aside from our religion to the right hand or to the left." He then declared that any Jew succumbing to those demands was a traitor to the covenants and to the Elohim of Israel. And he called all to join in a revolt, killing those who opposed him. However, Mattathias wouldn't live through this campaign to see the victory. The mantle would pass on to his son, Judah Maccabee, the hammer, who would lead the Jews in a revolt against the Seleucids, which would take about 3 years. He was named Maccabee, which means hammer. It comes from the song that we sing every week, Mi Kamocha, by Elim Adonai. You take those words and you get Maccabee out of them. And it means, who is like God unto thee? Right? During this time, he invented what we call today guerrilla warfare. guerrilla-type warfare was invented by Judah Maccabee. He was the first one in the world to ever do it. Just about 200 soldiers were able to defeat 6,000 Greek soldiers at one time. They would come in and out of the forest and do the guerrilla warfare. He has a statue at West Point, New York today, and they teach his tactics there to the United States Army. Che Guevara probably learned about all his guerrilla warfare from Judah Maccabee. Che Guevara was in Cuba, right? It was carried out against the Syrian Greeks while the Jews sought allies in the Egyptian Greeks, the Spartans, and the Romans. Their military challenges and triumphs are recorded in the books of the Maccabees. You can read it all there. Daniel prophesied about the rise of Antiochus Epiphanes and the Maccabean era after speaking about the division of Alexander's kingdom into four regions. Daniel rightly prophesied that Antiochus would arise to rule and that his own kingdom would come against the faithful ones, the Jews, but would not die in battle. Daniel 8, he never died in battle. He died of a disease, which we don't want to talk about. He was unable to stand against the Jews, many of whom faithfully resisted any attempt to Hellenize him. He believed that he was a god. However, later he wasted away and died from a flesh-eating disease. The Maccabees drove the Seleucids out of the land of Israel in the year in 165 BC E in the month of Kislev, which is in the month of December, which is today, actually 24th day of Kislev. Then they had the task of cleaning up the mess, notably in the temple, in Jerusalem and in the temple. And his forces had completely ransacked the temple and made it into a haven of idolatry. The temple needed to be cleansed of its defilement and restored to its previous position so that proper sacrifices could once again be performed. Of all the temple's furniture that had to be cleansed and rededicated, one of the most important was the great lampstand, or the menorah. The menorah required special consecrated oil in order to be lit. As many of you are aware, modern observance of Hanukkah is commemorated by the lighting of a Hanukkiah, which is a special 9-branched menorah. This is different from the menorah that was in the temple because that one only had 7 branches. This is different. It was used because when the temple was rededicated, there was only enough oil to be lit for one day, so the legend goes. This comes from the Talmud, actually. It wasn't in the book of the Maccabees. And they needed 8 days to get more oil. Consecrated oil is actually the first pressing of the oil from the olives. And it took 8 days to get that. Even with FedEx, takes a long time. You know, during this season, you know, shipping is really slowed down. But it took 8 days. And so actually the oil that they had, it was only good for one day, but it burned for a whole 8 days until the rest of the shipment showed up. And that was considered to be a miracle. Of course, that was in the Talmud, and it was written 200 years after this event actually took place. So I don't know. You heard the stories of Davy Crockett, so enough said about that. But the miracle of the 8 days of oil is in the Talmud. What would have happened if the Maccabees had not stood up to Antiochus and his armies? Not only would they have succeeded in wiping out all the Jewish people, either through military defeat or cultural assimilation, but Israel in any form would not have existed to give rise to Messiah Yeshua. We have ample reasons to celebrate Hanukkah as believers in Yeshua today, the foremost of which being that if the miracle of Hanukkah had not taken place, there would be no miracle of Yeshua. So that's important. And what about Yeshua, our Messiah? As Hanukkah was established as a celebration in the mid-century, 2nd century BCE, did our Savior celebrate it? Well, you know, it's not in Leviticus 23. It's not one of the feast days of God. It's not a biblical holiday until you get to the book of John, chapter 10, verses 22 and 23, where it says, "At that time, the feast of dedication took place in Jerusalem. So somebody was celebrating it. It was winter, which tells you that it was cold outside in December. Right there tells you that somebody wasn't born in December in a manger when little shepherds came by. Right there is your answer there. It was winter, and Yeshua was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. The festival of dedication is also known as the Feast of Lights in Hanukkah and starts on the 25th day of the month of Kislev. That was last night at sundown. And it lasts for 8 days to commemorate the purification of the temple by Judah the Maccabee on that date. The question is, what was Yeshua doing in Jerusalem at that time? This is also the time which Yeshua identified himself as the Good Shepherd, meaning he was God. John chapter 10, verse 30, he said, I and the Father are one. The Jews then took up to stone him. The Jews thought he was blaspheming and wanted to do as instructed by the Torah, stone the perpetrator. Yeshua was present in Jerusalem during Hanukkah, and we may safely assume that he was celebrating Hanukkah at that time. After all, he was a Jew, celebrating Hanukkah, and understanding that Yeshua was in Jerusalem at this time is very important. It's especially important when we understand what Yeshua was doing and the questions that he asked regarding his mission. By the time of Yeshua's first advent, the house of Israel was already scattered amongst all the nations. The events surrounding the Maccabees and the rededication of the temple primarily pertain to the house of Judah only. There were no northern kingdom then. They were gone, or were there? The reason that there are no northern kingdoms mentioned is that many non-Jewish believers in the community wondering if the celebration of Hanukkah was justified. This is because believing themselves to be possibly out of what we call scattered Israel, they felt left out maybe. And the focus of Hanukkah is so much on the Jewish people that they believe that the house of Israel, the 10 tribes, was so unimportant then. It didn't matter. Where did Yeshua come from? He came from the tribe of Judah. So there's a problem with the Jews, and a lot of them just wanted to become part of the Hellenism period. And so we lost a lot of Jews that way. We're losing Jews today because they want to become part of the landscape. They want to become not Jewish. They want to be something other. You know, if you're Jewish, you get persecuted, you get beat up on, you get spit upon, you get looked at like you're weird. There's anti-Semitism all over the world. Being a Jew is a hard thing. It's not an easy task. I don't know why you guys show up here. You're brave. You're brave souls. But you know that this is right. You know that this is correct. You know that God is with the Jewish people. And so as it was in the first century, so it is today. We should not succumb to what we call the temptations of popular culture, but stand for what we know is right and just. And we should join Jewish brothers at this time of the year, rededicating the temple, which is now our bodies. This is our temple in service to God. Dedicate your bodies to serve God. We should celebrate our coming out of Babylon and be glad that many of others are joining us in believing in the Sabbath, the annual set-apart days of God in Leviticus 23, the circumcision of our sons and eating kosher foods as commanded in the Torah. So when we light the Hanukkah candles, rededicating our lives to keeping the Torah and belief in Yeshua. So I gave you on the table there a little kind of story about Hanukkah. And on the back there's blessings, messianically correct blessings for lighting the candles each night. There's prayers that you could say when you light the candles and some scriptures to read. The sheet also tells you about a little game that's played. And we'll be playing dreidel, but down here it explains what it is, and I'll be talking about it tonight. There's also a story about the Feast of Lights, things I told you about. These are all on the table, and the letters on the dreidel, what they mean. And so we're looking forward to an exciting night tonight about dreideling and celebrating Hanukkah.